Well, who's excited about our Mission Sunday next Sunday? I hope you all have your little pledge cards, or if you haven't got them, get one today and take it away this week and pray about it and see what you can do for this year just to fill this out. And it's not a big amount you have to bring, but if you do it consistently, it just really helps us with our budget for our leap into spring. Because it's amazing for the size of the church we are, what we actually do in the number of countries that we're involved in. So the title of my message this morning, and you would think, well, this doesn't sound a very good sort of message. And it's the title is Persevering Through the Trials. You know, the Christian walk is not one that's always lying down in green pastures and beside still waters, although most of us would love that. And I've discovered in my Christian walk that trials come. And when I face those trials, I always have decisions to make. Am I going to push through? Am I going to carry on? Or am I going to quit and say it's all too hard and look for an easier option? I just wonder, who here loves going through trials? Oh, no one does. No one loves the trials. But when we do go through these trials and we do persevere, it develops a strength within us. It grows a faith within our lives to overcome. Just a couple of scriptures I just want to read out to you. In James 1, 2, 4, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy." Gosh, do I never really feel joyful, but if I do count it all joy when I fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or perseverance. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. God always wants us to be growing. And when we go through a trial, it will strengthen us if we carry on. In Romans 5, 3 to 5, another one that I didn't never really enjoy it as a young Christian. And not only that, we also glory in our tribulations. So we can be rejoicing when we're going through a tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You might ask me, what's this got to do with missions? When I was thinking what I was going to share, there's so many scriptures that you can do on missions, but I couldn't get these thoughts out of my mind. Persevering through trials. I was like, God, persevering through trials. And there was one person that I've come to admire over the time that I've known him. And this is Pastor Commander and C3, he's the senior pastor of C3, Sierra Leone, and his church is in C3 Kono. And if we could just put up the first picture. So there's Pastor Commander. When you talk about Pastor Commander, you get a mental picture of this very big, tall, he's like a commanding type figure. But he's very slight. But I tell you, he's got a commanding spirit. So I got to meet Pastor Commander in 2019 when we went on our mission trip. We went to Sierra Leone and then on to Liberia. So Pastor Commander had only been, I think, in the movement a couple of years. And so, but he'd proved faithful. And I think we'd only at that stage given them some Bibles. But anyway, we went and we visited a few of the churches that he runs there. and we also went to Kono. So that was my first meeting with Pastor Commander. Then in 2020, he rang to say that he'd found some land in Kono. I said, okay, how much? Because generally, that's what... But to be fair to Pastor Commander, he never really asked for money. But anyway, he said that he'd had this land, found this land. And when I heard how expensive it was, I thought, man, we could just about do this. And I remember speaking with Pastor Nigel, and we concurred this would be really good. So the land, it's well over an acre. I don't know how many acres. It might be 5 acres. It's quite a sizable piece. But it was worked out at about $1,300 Australian dollars. I thought that was pretty good value because they didn't have land. So I thought that was pretty good. And then they got it all mapped out and all that, and it is all now our land. So it's C3. It is such a blessing. So as we move into the beginning of this year, he'd sent me some plans for this big compound that he wanted to build. And I looked at those, I thought, well, man, he's got a big vision. He's got a big vision. But anyway, then he came back to me and said, look, we could build a church for $1,500, US dollars, so 1,500. So getting close to probably 2,000 Australian dollars. We could build a church. And I thought, well, that's pretty good, because we're still in the process of still trying to build a church in Kakata and in Liberia at the moment. But I said, yeah, well, I think we could do that. And we talked and we sent some money. Could I just have this second photo, please? So here is, this was just taken off a video. But the foundation was put down and the walls were starting to go up. Now, this was in January this year. Now, we had about probably two months or 3 months to have the building built, which he was assured me would happen. And it was looking relatively good, although that wall has got a little bit of a lean. But these were made out of mud blocks. That's hence why it was cheaper, not concrete, mud. But then he ran into problems. Any time that I would ring Pastor Commander, his words to me were, well, I give God all the glory. That's his first thing. How are you, Pastor? Well, I give God all the glory. That's a positive faith statement. Or it would be, I'm fighting to get this done. So things were looking good and we were making great progress. And if we go to the next slide. So we've got the walls are up a little bit higher now. And you see that black plastic on top. Well, he came into having a few problems. The rains came early. And there was over 1,500 blocks that had been made. And they all got wet. So you know what happens when mud gets wet, it just turns back to mud. And so basically they've got to try and start again. And every time I rang, it seemed like it was raining. They managed to get some plastic sheeting up above, and it sort of protected the building a little bit. But the time was going on. By April, he was hoping to have Bible school in that building and church running as well. But as the months progressed, things were going a little bit slower. And I could tell, although he was always positive, that it was starting to wear him down. And it was like, as I say, it's persevering through a trial. Maybe after 2 or 3 months of not a lot of happening, a lot of people would give up and quit. But I have to admire him and his tenacity to keep going. He said, well, I'll give God the glory, sir. I'm going to try and get some guys out there, and we're going to try and get some things happening. Should I get the next slide? So here we go. It's going on a bit further now. Now he had to, the contractor that actually put the blocks up didn't actually get them in line. And so when they came to put the roof on and all the roofing structure, nothing sort of matched up. So there had to be, some of the wall had to go. Some of the wall was gone on the sides, but the roof was going up. Now, the other problem he had was that as time went on, and with the COVID situation and everything else that was happening, lockdowns, it was hard to get the materials. And then when he was getting the materials, the price of the materials were going up. So hence the $1,500 that was going to build the building probably blew out a little bit further than that. So now I could have the next slide. So there it is again. There's the building, and we've got half a roof on now. And again, this would probably be another month after that last slide. But it's got the roof on. Now, when he went and bought the zinc for the roof, I think the building actually ended up being a little bit bigger than perhaps what they'd first thought of, the $1,500 size one. I think this one might have been the $2,800 size building. And we didn't get enough roofing, so we had to actually get some more roof. So I think, one more is there?
Yeah.
So there it is there now, and that's how it's sort of standing at the moment. So the roof is all on. And we've got the building, a basic building there with a roof. If you look closely through the window, you'll see that there's not much wall down the side, because there's just bits of stick holding the roof up on that side. But that's going to be sorted. But anyway, this time period from the start of January until now, he's been persevering, battling to get this project done. They have got some crops planted around that building. But then his next trial came along. So he had the trial of trying to build this building and get people involved and get the materials and get it there. But he's been tenacious. He's kept fighting. And then he got really sick. He got malaria very bad, but also typhoid. And all I got a message was to say that I'm very sick. Can you pray? His head was apparently bursting or pounding, and I was really concerned and really worried. Pastor Nigel and the church probably 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, we prayed for him, and I give God the glory. As Pastor Commander would say, he is improving now. He's improving. And even when I spoke to him last week, it was really that I could feel some energy and some back in his voice. He was so weak, he could hardly talk. But he's getting stronger by the day, praise God. And I know, I don't have no doubt at all that he's going to see this project through, and we're going to see it through. We're going to see, get the windows in there and get the rest of that wall sorted out. They've already got crops planted, so they're going to have a source of income from that. And when I think of him, when I'm going through a struggle, and after seeing and being there, you don't realize how fortunate we are. Yeah, we might have struggles here. We might have issues and things that crop up. But for most of us, and all of us all the time, generally we'd have a roof over our head, and we'd have food, and we'd have clothing. But it's not the same in most of those other nations that we help, especially in Liberia and Sierra Leone. Governments are pretty corrupt. The circumstances that people face, it's not easy. It's not easy. And I hear people moaning and groaning about how bad it is here. We're blessed. We're so fortunate. We're so fortunate to be living in a land like we're living here, in this nation, despite of lockdowns and so forth. We're very fortunate. I want to move on a little bit into our giving, and this is found in Galatians 6, 6 to 10. Let him who has taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart, if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are in the household of faith. There's a couple of ways. Obviously, we can support the missions. One is through prayer, and prayer is great, praying for those nations, praying for those people. But the other form is making a small sacrifice on our part. They are our brothers and sisters. They're living in nations that are impoverished, that some days that all they'd get would be a little bit of rice. I don't think Pastor Commander's had much food at all over the last, you know, week or so, because they haven't been able to get out. And we have the opportunity to be able to just bring a small amount each week. And this money that we give goes directly to those people in some form. I've been a Christian for a number of years now, and I've seen over the years where we've had, in different churches that I've been in, we've had, we'd take up offerings or pledges for doing certain things. And it's amazing when we step out or we decide to do something for God, how the enemy will always come and he'll bring some obstacles around about us. The moment we say, oh, look, we're going to support this ministry, or we're going to support this missions program, whatever amount, we're going to support you this, something happens, like the car breaks down, there's a big bill to have to pay. Some other circumstance arises. And it's almost like the promise that you've made becomes null and void because you've got this other situation that you're dealing with. In early 2018, my wife lost her job. She was working in a school and the situation arose. She had to leave early in 2018. So she had no work for about 5 months. So basically, I was the breadwinner. Now, what I was earning wasn't covering our expenses. Our daughter was in a private school, so we had school fees we had to pay. There were other things that we had to pay. And on the outside, it looked, well, I'd term it relatively bleak. What are we going to do if Angela doesn't get a job? But what I would say, and you know, one of the first thoughts that came to my mind was, well, I'll try and do my best to keep tithing, but maybe I could, you know, stop, well, God, you know, I could justify it. I'm not getting the money. Maybe I should stop giving into the missions, stop giving into the building project. That giving, that's on top of my tithes. And I caught myself, I thought, why would you start to think that? You know, while everything's going right, I can say I'm trusting God. When everything's going right, I'm trusting God. But when something doesn't, when something changes in my life and in my situation, that's when the rubber meets the road. That's where it comes to, are you really trusting God? I said to my wife, I said, we're going to trust God. We're going to stand, we're just going to trust God. So we looked at what we could do. We decided we would keep tithing. We decided we would keep giving. But we decided what we would do would be cut things out in our lives that we didn't really need. We cut our grocery bill from this high down to this high. You know, maybe we weren't eating the same type of food that we had before, but we were cutting back. So we cut back. We started to do our part. And you know, the amazing thing was, over those 5 months, we still managed to keep tithing. We still managed to keep giving into our offerings, and we didn't suffer lack. I was still able to pay the school fees. I was still able to pay my mortgage. Just amazing how God was so good. I came back to a tax time, and we did. I never thought about it, but when Angela's tax was done, she got about $3,000 back, and it was just such a great thing. And if I could encourage you in any way, if you do decide to commit to this leap into spring offering, you mean, you know, you've got to look at your budget. You've got to budget it in. But if you do and you trust God and you put God in it, you know, you've prayed about it, God will take care of the rest. It's a step of faith. I'm trusting, I'm believing that God will do it and help me through this. And so what seemed at the time for us a really bad circumstance changed to be a blessing in our lives. Because even now, my wife has got work. It's not quite what she was getting before, but we can live within our means now. So the key things that I see in that scripture is, let us not grow weary while doing good. Sometimes when we're planting, when we're sowing, or when we're doing things, that we can get weary. And when we get weary, that's when we decide to give up. That's when we get tired and think, oh, look, I've been doing this, I've been bringing my tithe for so long, nothing's really happening, I'm gonna stop doing that. But if you would persevere, you'd see God's hand come through. I can guarantee you that. So we don't want to lose heart. We don't want to ever lose heart. You mean God is for you. If God is for you, who can be against you? No matter what you're facing, God will always see you through. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. No matter how hard it may look, if you stand and do all that you can do to stand, God will see you through. He will see you through. In closing, and if you want the, in Proverbs 19:17, it says, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what has been given. So God will always repay. God's no man's debtor. He's no man's debtor. He won't allow you to be without anything. He won't allow you to to lack. You might for a little season, but God will always come through. And what I've discovered over my life is that sometimes I've got it pre-planned in my own mind how God is going to work in my situation. And I found myself in the early years being very disappointed because I surely thought that if I did this or I did this, God was just going to come in and he was going to do this. I was going to go out to the letterbox and someone would have left some cash in there. Only ever happened to me once. but that's what I thought. You know, God, you do this, you do it this way. You know, there's a story of a man in 1 Kings, Naaman. Was it Naaman? I think that's how you say his name. He had leprosy. And a Jewish girl went to him and said, look, there's a prophet in our land. If you come, he would surely heal you. So he dressed him, this is a paraphrase, quickly through it, but he dressed himself up and thought, oh, surely that prophet's going to come out. He's going to come out and he's going to wave his stick over me. He's going to welcome me and I'm going to be instantly healed. That's what he thought. So he went there thinking that's what he was going to get and that's how it was going to work for him. But when he got there, he didn't even see the prophet. The prophet sends out a servant and says to him, oh, just go down to the Jordan River there and bathe three times, I think. Was it three times? Or three, seven. Yeah, dip in there seven times, and once you've done that, you'll be instantly healed. And he got really angry about that. What? I thought this man was going to come out and he was going to do this. But fortunately, the girl was there to persuade him to go down, and of course he was healed. And so often in our lives, we've got it pre-planned. God's going to do it like this, but he doesn't do it like that. The way that he does it is totally different. And that is about putting our trust in him. We've got to get rid of the ideas of how you think it's going to happen. Because it doesn't always work that way. Well, I don't think it ever has worked that way for me. So I give up trying to be God and trying to work out and how he should do it for me. So next week, I really just encourage you over this week just to pray and just see what you can do. The money that we raise is going to be used wisely. There's buildings to be built, but also there's a school to support. There's teachers to be paid. There's a number of things that we'd like to do, and we'd always like to do more. But the main thing is that we can be a blessing to our brothers and sisters in countries and in nations that are far less fortunate than we are.
I don't know if you're aware of this, Steve. And as he was just standing here saying, people heard Connect Group because he comes. Steve, your heart for God, heavens to look down on you and just, I know that what you're saying, you do what God has actually done. So I'm here just to say, God is doing, has done even more remarkable. I know the income's better. And it's just so good to be humble but I know what's really happening here. And I'm like, Steve, you've got to finish the story. So I'm here telling you, isn't that fantastic?
Yeah.
And really, your faithfulness in all your giving and all your budgeting and all your loyalty and even putting yourself last, God rewards. I'm just so grateful that you've shared your heart this morning and how God. And can we just all have this attitude? So I'll let you finish.
Yeah. Well, praise God. Yeah, no. just one thing about that job. It was like, I've been in my job for over 9 years, and it's been good, but I started a battle probably two or three years ago, just with, I wasn't really enjoying what I was doing, but the couple that I work for are very, you know, they're Christian people, and I really wanted to help them. But I've been asking God for a job for some time, but I've been sort of procrastinating as well, in a sense, is that sometimes we've also got to put some legs to our action. We can ask God, but sometimes we've got to do something as well. And I, other than applying for one job, really I looked at jobs but didn't do anything else, and sort of thought, oh, I'll just carry on. And well, I thought, God, if you do open up something, well, it's going to be really special. And it really was. So it was like my sister rang and said, there's a job in our work, could you give my manager a ring? And I did, and he really offered me the job before I had even tried out on the thing. But no, it was a really a blessing. And it's, sometimes things don't always come when we want them to come. But they will always come. They will always come, and may not be in the form that we think, but it will happen. And you know, we've seen that over our lives. We've got a daughter that's such a blessing to us. It wasn't what we really had thought of when we first got married, or even later on. But she's a very special girl that we adopted from China. We were believing God for a miracle for ourselves, but that was the miracle that God had for us. So that's why I say, don't ever want to think this is how it's going to happen, because God is far bigger than we are. He's far bigger than we are. Let's just pray, and then we'll go off with a song. Oh, Father, I just thank you, Lord. I just thank you for each person here today, Lord God. Father, I just pray, Lord, that you touch each life, Father. And Lord, even as, Lord, that they would go and seek you, just what they could do to help, Lord, those that are less fortunate than themselves. Father, you'd speak to them, you'd make it clear to them. But Lord, I just pray, Father, for those that would step out and trust you, Father. Lord, that you will prove yourself strong in their lives, Father. Lord, that you will open up opportunities, Father, where they never even imagined them, Lord, would come from, Father. Lord, I just thank you, Father. Lord, that you pour your blessing out across this people, Father. You pour your blessing out, Father. Lord, even in this church, Father. Lord, Father, just speak growth, Father, and increase, Lord God. Father, that you're going to add, that you're going to bring, Lord, new people. You're going to expand even the walls to this place, Father. And Lord, that your spirit will be filled to overflowing in this place, Father. Lord, we just thank you. We just give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.